Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam 8.5.34.
Somam mano yasya samamananti devaukasam yo balamanta ayuhu isho naganam prajana prajanam prasidatam na samahavibhutihi
Somam, the moon, Manaha, the mind, Yasya, of whom? Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Sama Mananti,
they say,
Devaukasam,
of the denizens of the upper planetary systems.
Yaha,
who?
Balam,
the strength.
Antaha,
the food grains.
Ayuhu,
the duration of life.
Ishaha,
the Supreme Lord.
Naganam,
of the trees.
Prajana,
the source of breeding.
Prajanam,
of all living entities. Prasidatam,
may he be pleased.
Naha, upon us.
Saha,
that Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Mahavibhutihi,
the source of all opulences. Soma, the moon, is the source of food grains, strength, and longevity for all the demigods. He is also the master of all vegetation and the source of generation for all living entities. As stated by learned scholars, the moon is the mind of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of all opulences, be pleased with us. Purport. Soma, the predominating deity of the moon, is the source of food grains, and therefore the source of strength, even for the celestial beings, the demigods. He is the vital force for all vegetation. Unfortunately, modern so-called scientists who do not fully understand the moon describe the moon as being full of deserts. Since the moon is the source for our vegetation, how can the moon be a desert? The moonshine is the vital force for all vegetation, and therefore we cannot possibly accept that the moon is a desert.
Om Gana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Tathati Shapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalang Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raganathan, Vitamstam Sajivam, Sadvaitam Savadhutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Padan, Sahagana Lalita, Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho, Dina Bandho Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute, Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi, Radhe Vrindavaneshwari, Prishabhanu Sute Devi, Pranamami Hodi Priye, Bansha Kolpita Rubhyascha, Kripa Sindho Bhyevacha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Dama, Hare Dama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Somam mano yasya samamananti devokasam yo balamandha ayuhu Isho naganam prajana prajanam prasiditam na samahavibhutihi. The verses in this sequence of this prayer all end mahavibhutihi, addressing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mahavibhuti, you're the person who has special opulences, great special opulences. Vibhuti means special opulence. Mahavibhuti, you have all opulences. Aishvarasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya. All opulences there in the personality of Godhead. And they're being described, or some of them are being described. Pradhanyata Kuru Shreshta Nasyanto Vristarasyame. In the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna asked Lord Krishna to describe some of his vibhutis, his special opulences, the Lord said, Hantate Katiyashyami. All right, I'll speak about them, but only about the main ones. Pradhanyata, some of the principal opulences. Nasyanto Vistarasyame, because there's no end to my limitless opulence. So I'll just give some headlines. So here also, the various features of the Lord in terms of the material energy are being described. The yes. I've lost it. Yeah, there we go. So, water is manifestation of you. The entire material creation rests on your lotus feet. Tomorrow we'll find fire is also you. So all whatever is great. Yad yad vibhutimat sattvam shri madurjitam eva va tat tad eva avagachatvam mama tejom susambhava. Whatever there is that's beautiful or opulent or splendid, powerful, just rests on one tiny fragment of myself. Or as Prabhupada says, it's all manifested from my one plenary portion. As the Purushavatar.
whatever is great is only a partial manifestation. What is that? Atava bahunaitena kim gatena tavarjana vistabhyaham idam krishnam ekang shena stutodrika. The whole universe, Krishna, what is there to say? I've described so many opulences of mine, but what is there to say? By just my one plenary portion, everything is resting on that, the whole cosmic manifestation. So mahavibhuti, there's no limit to the wonderful opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now we come to the moon. In the material world, the moon is certainly great. Poets have been writing about it since time immemorial, and men have desired to go there by mechanical means or by pious activities. The moon is powerful also. Somo bhutva rasatmakaha. The vegetables become succulent by the power of the moon. Here it's said that the demigods get the strength of food grains from the moon. They get their longevity from the moon. Strength from the moon. So we know, just in even ordinary people know, that the moon is connected with the tides. The tides are very powerful. They're under the sway of the moon. So the moon is very powerful. And beyond that, the moon is the presiding deity of the mind. The mind is very powerful. Balavadridham in the Bhagavad Gita. The mind is very difficult to control because it's so powerful. The presiding deity of the moon is Soma, and the presiding deity ultimately is Krishna. Krishna says, the moon is my mind. For Krishna, the mind is always under control, the mind is always pure, the mind is always perfect. But our minds are connected with the material energy. Therefore, the mind can become the friend, or the mind can become the enemy. Uttared atmanatmanam natmanam avasadayet. Atmaiva hyatmano bandhur, atmaiva ripuratmana. The mind can be the best enemy, worst enemy, or the best friend. What is that? Yenatmaivatmana jitaha. Anatmanastu shatrutve vartetatmaiva shatruvat. If the mind is controlled, it's the best friend. If the mind is controlled, it's the best friend. And if uncontrolled, worst enemy. Then the mind will think of all rubbish. The mind will go from here to there, from here to there, from here to there. Pramati balavad dridham. It's very stubborn, but also chanchala hi mana Krishna. Fickle, fickle, fickle. Yes, 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 no, 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 no. Yes, maybe America, no. Europe, no. South America, no. The Himalayas. The mind is so troublesome. Therefore, savai mana Krishna padaravindaya. The mind should be fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. For all of these senses, mind is one of the senses. Indriyanam manaschasmi. Among the senses, Krishna says, I'm the mind. So the mind is the center of all the senses. And if the mind is controlled, when the mind is controlled, all the other senses can be controlled. The ultimate presiding deity of all the senses is Krishna. The presiding deity of sight is the sun. And finally, the sun is a representation of Krishna. For the mind, it's the moon. For water, it's Varuna. All of these are manifestations of Varuno Yadasamaha. Varuna, Krishna says, also represents me. Everything, finally, any great power represents Krishna. Therefore, all of the senses, beginning with the mind, should be engaged in the service of Krishna. What is that? Bhajahure mana sri nanda nanda nanda. The mind should be engaged in the service of Krishna. Then the mind is controlled. Then the mind is the best friend. Otherwise, if the mind is engaged in material activities, material thought, material business, then it becomes the worst enemy. And one dreams of going to the moon, spending millions of dollars, finding out that it's a desert there, coming back. Then, let's go to Mars, let's go to Venus, let's spend a few million here, a few million there. Pramati, what is that? Pramati, crazy. The mind is described also as crazy, mad. Therefore, we have our lunatic, from luna, Latin for the moon. When the mind is fixed on Krishna, the mind is sane. This is one of the 26 qualities of a devotee. We used to recite these 26 qualities sometimes, and we would always chuckle when we got to this one, sane. Maybe now we appreciate it a lot more. A devotee is sane. O somam mano yasya samamananti. According to great authorities, the moon is the Lord's mind. Isho naganam is the controller of the trees. And prajana prajanam, the source of breeding for all living beings. So prasidatam, may that Supreme Personality of Godhead be pleased with us, be satisfied with us. Srila Prabhupada points out also that this moon that we have, they say it's a desert, we have a different opinion. But whatever your opinion, it's got all these spots on it, and it doesn't last. It looks good for some years, maybe for the day of Brahma, and then it's finished. So the moon, for all its glory, it's limited. But on the full moon day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared as Gaurhari. Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the mind should be engaged in the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, engaged in taking part in the Sankirtan movement and spreading the Sankirtan movement. Then the mind can become purified, Chaito Darpana Marjanam, and the mind becomes your best friend, and you can become the friend of others by spreading the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna. And we'll leave some time for questions. Yeah, we'll leave a lot of time for questions. Yes, Padri Narayan Marsh. Hold on 1 second, we'll give you a microphone. It's the least we can give you. I know, but they have a better one here. It's also organic.
My question, Maharaj, is
How is the moon Krishna's mind?
What does this mean? The moon is my mind. We can take this in the larger context, starting from the second canto, the universal form is described. He's briefly mentioned for one verse in first canto. But then the universal form is described. The mountains are my bones. The birds are my voice. The lower planets are my feet and legs. The middle planets are my waist. Upper planets are my head. The clouds are the hair on my head. All of the entire universal form is described this way. The sun is, in Bhagavad Gita, the sun is one eye, the moon is another eye. So So all of the different parts of the body of the Lord are described in terms of the material energy. Because we want to think of Krishna, in the 10th chapter, Keshu Keshu Chabhaveshu Chintyosi Bhagavan Maya. Arjuna asks, how can I always think of you? And at least in one of the editions, Prabhupada comments that bhaveshu means in material things. How can I always think of you within the context in which we live in the material world? We're not surrounded, maybe in Vrindavan, we're surrounded by desire trees and cows and the Jamuna and Govardhan and whatever we can see or not see. But in the rest of the world, it's factories, cities, traffic lights, cinemas, restaurants, and on down from there. The internet, the television, and may God save us from, you know, all of that. So Arjuna said, how am I supposed to think of you all the time? What is that? Krishna says, Manmana, just think of me. How am I going to do that with all this rubbish going on? So then, I'm everywhere in my universal form. So when you see the sun, you can think of my eye. When you see the moon, you can think of my mind. When you see hear the birds, you can think of my voice. When you see this, you can think of that. In the 9th chapter also, Prabhasmi Shashishuryuyo, I'm the light of the sun, I'm the light of the moon. Rasoham Apsukonte, I'm the taste of water. How can you not think of me? I'm all over the place. So in that way. Also, we can think that I have a mind. I have a mind which is controlled by the moon, for better or worse. So Krishna also has a mind. Krishna also has a mind. It's not that I'm very intelligent and Krishna's mindless. That we heard the other day, the scientists, their idea is that everything is just, matter is so intelligent that it comes up with everything. You know, you just take the building blocks of life, as we were told, hydrogen and carbon and oxygen, and maybe there was another one, nitrogen. You take these building blocks of life, you don't even take them, they take themselves, and they construct everything you see. Isn't nature wonderful? That's their idea, that matter itself organizes itself. And not only that, it creates intelligence. Intelligence arises from matter, which creates a problem because how did matter get so intelligent before it gave birth to intelligence? Before intelligence evolved from matter, how did matter become so intelligent as to get intelligence from itself? Very strange business. But we say that the universe has a mind.
And it's not the mind of matter, it's the mind of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Behind everything is the mind and intelligence of Krishna. So when, otherwise they've got a, they've got nature, but they've got no head to nature. It's got all these parts that just automatically work without a head. Prabhupada, it's a kind of childish mentality. Prabhupada talked about when he was a child, he used to think that the trains just ran, and that if he touched the wire, he could also like scoot down the street. Like a tram car. But there's an arrangement, and behind the arrangement is intelligence, and for the universe, that intelligence is Krishna's intelligence. So when we see the moon, then we can think, yes, Krishna is behind everything. As I have a mind ruled by the moon, Krishna has a mind which is represented by the moon. My mind is working because his mind is working. Just as I'm seeing, I see you, you see me. How is it possible? You need three things. First, you need something to see. So I'm seeing you. That's the first thing I need. Some object of sight. Next thing, I need an organ of sight. If I don't have eyes, I can't see anything. Dhritarashtra was not able to see anything. Blind. Netrahin. Well, Dhritarashtra couldn't see anything because he didn't have eyes. We'll get to light in a minute. But the first thing is that without eyes, without an organ of sight, you can't see. Everything may be there, but you won't see it. Then the third thing, yes, is that we need light. If we were sitting here at midnight and there was no electricity and no candles, whatever might be here would be all black. We wouldn't see anything. Because we need light. And where does light come? It comes from the sun. Even your electricity comes from petrochemicals, which come from carbon, blah, blah, which come from the sun. So we're dependent, so vision depends on something to see it with, an eye, and then light, ultimately from the sun, and therefore the arrangement of the presiding deity, the sun god. And behind the sun, Krishna. So, and so it is for all the senses. Each sense, in the same way, depends on a sense object, a sense organ, a presiding deity of the sense, and behind the whole thing, Krishna. So that's how it is for the mind also. Behind our, therefore, it's said that we can see because Krishna sees. If Krishna doesn't see, what is his eye? The yachchakshuresha savitasaka. Krishna's eye is the sun. Well, unless Krishna is seeing in the form of the sun, I can't see. I can't see. So, unless Krishna is thinking, I can't think. Unless Krishna's mind is working, I wouldn't be able to have mentation. Is that okay?
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Shari Prabhu.
Microphone. This is Bhakti. We share the microphone. And ultimate Bhakti is we have enough battery power. Yes. Talking about? Sanity, yes. I'm repeating what Harishari Prabhu is saying. He said, I've talked about sanity. In early September 1976, Prabhupada came here to Vrindavan. After a few days, he met with Jagadish Prabhu, who was trying to develop the school. There was some discussion about various aspects of the school. At the end of the conversation, the biggest problem is finding someone sane enough to be a teacher. Prabhupada scowled and Prabhupada said, "You just take it for granted. There are no sane people. You have to make them sane." Yes, Maharaj.
Prabhupada's on a morning walk in Germany with a big professor.
Prabhupada was on a morning walk in Germany with a big professor.
The professor's field was psychology.
The professor?
His field was
psychology.
Prabhupada said, "I have traveled all over the world. I have studied the matter very carefully." "And I have concluded." "That everyone is more or less crazy." "And the professor, he's about Prabhupada's age. And he just busts out laughing. And he says, me too."
The professor was about Prabhupada's age and he burst out laughing and said, "Me too, me too." Something else? Yes.
Devotional service is absolute. I was wondering if the engagement of the mind with the activity, does it matter what type of devotional activity it is?
Does it matter what kind of devotional service one engages in? Does one get the same benefit for the mind? Potentially, yes. The chanting can fully absorb the mind. Hearing can fully absorb the mind. Remembering can fully absorb the mind. Serving can fully absorb the mind. Cooking can fully absorb the mind. Distributing books can fully absorb the mind. Any of the activities of devotional service can fully absorb the mind, if we're willing. And most effectively, hearing and chanting. Because if I don't hear and chant, what will I remember? I want to become, suppose, the friend, Sakyam, or Atmanivedanam, surrender myself. But if the if I don't hear and chant, it will be very difficult. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that after getting the seed of devotional service, watering by hearing and chanting. So hearing, and Jiva Goswami says everything should have hearing and chanting with it. Any function that we may perform should have kirtan before, kirtan after. Thank you. Another question? Yes, Madhvi.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. It's very difficult controlling the mind. Confirmed by Arjuna. Yes. If we stay at a certain place where our mind is agitated because of others,
our consciousness gets disturbed.
Yes, we must leave that place so that our mind can be disturbed elsewhere by different others. Prabhupada said that if you bring a grinding machine to Vaikuntha,
it'll grind. Even wherever you bring the mind, it will do the same thing. I'll be agitated here, I'll be agitated there. Therefore, just moving, and the mind is such a thing. Let me move here. Well, no, let me move back. It was better where I was. Therefore, the mind has to be fixed in Krishna. Just like, to speak of fickle people, Lakshmi is known as fickle. As the mind is fickle, Lakshmi is fickle. As businessmen find out, because she's their friend one day and deserts them the next. But Lakshmi is fixed at the lotus feet of Narayan. Otherwise, not. The mind is fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. If you put it at the lotus feet of Krishna, it'll be in the right place. If you put it anywhere else, same problem will be there, whether you go to Bombay or Vrindavan or the moon. If the scientists actually went to the moon, they'd still be agitated. There was some discussion, you know, serious discussion, about sex in outer space. You know, they're going to send men and women up into outer space, and you know, so that's what they'll do. They'll go to the moon and they'll think of sex. What is the use? No, now we want to go to Mars and think of sex. Something else. Yes.
In the verse where Krishna says, one who conquers the mind is the best friend.
For one who conquers the mind is the best friend. Uncontrolled, worst enemy.
I was thinking that, is it possible that the mind may never get conquered and we just accept it that it is an enemy and that we just be extra vigilant?
Can we just reach a place where we say, well, the mind is never going to be conquered, so I just have to accept that and be extra vigilant? As a provisional strategy, I can understand that. Because it's not that I woke up this morning and said, at last, I've conquered my mind. And from now on, we'll live happily ever after, me and my best friend. It hasn't happened to me. So, from that point of view, we accept that my mind is, you know, like kind of like a nation where they know that the enemies are there, but they hold them at bay, at least. So at least if we know that my mind is my enemy, let me control it, at least to the greatest extent. Not a bad strategy. Finally, we hope to reach that point. Not that we say, okay, that's it, the mind will never be conquered, give up, and just sort of accept it and deal with it. We should always be striving to reach that point where by Krishna's grace we conquer the mind. It becomes our friend because we're fully engaged in Krishna consciousness. That stage is reachable, and we should aspire for it. But we should never be confident, now the mind is my friend, so whatever it tells me must be the truth, reliable, friendly. The mind should be watched carefully. Always suspect. What is that? Balavan indriya gramam vidvamsam apikarshati. Even the why should one not sit alone with one's mother or one's sister or one's daughter? Because the senses, with the mind as the commander-in-chief, are so strong that vidvamsam, even a learned person, may be dragged.
So one should always be careful about the mind, about the senses. But just trying to stop the mind, or just trying to say, don't think of this, don't think of that, don't go here, don't go there, will be very difficult. What is that? Yeah, no. There's a verse. The wrong verse is coming. Give me a moment. Someone will have to help me out. Bhajavasudevam. What's the first line? I'm getting an interference signal from a different verse. The meaning is that for the Mayavadis who try to stop the mind, the business is very difficult. How do you stop the mind? Krishna Arjuna says it's like stopping the wind. Vayurva Sudushkaram. So the Mayavadi program of just trying to stop the mind, or the Buddhist program of just trying to make the mind quiet and still, is doomed. But if one, Sanat Kumar speaks this verse, I think, fourth canto, but if one fixes the mind on the lotus petal feet of Krishna, then the waves of material desire, the waves of all this stuff in the mind, are taken care of. Is that okay? A note. When we introspect, the mind is very abominable. Should we fight with the mind or beg to Krishna to do the needful? Finally, begging to Krishna to do the needful will be better. Fighting the mind, it's like, you know, the little an ant against the world. It's not going to work. Finally, we beg the mind, and then if the mind is fixed on Krishna, then, or if we're Krishna conscious, then we can fight against Maya. The mind that we're worried about is the mind that's affected by Maya. We can fight with that mayic tendency, not by our own power. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Dhruva Maharaj was fighting with the yakshas. One of them had killed his brother, and so Dhruva retaliated against all the yakshas, and they're fighting him like anything. And because he's winning, they start the mystic stuff. And blocks of stone start dropping from the sky, blood and pus start raining from the sky, clouds of dust, and Dhruva appears to be overwhelmed by the yakshas. But then he shoots an arrow, which represents the Krishna consciousness, the holy name of the Lord, and all the illusions created by the yakshas are dispelled. So we have to, finally, what do we do for the mind? Just say, stop. Harirnama, 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 imakevama. This is controlling the mind. And cheto darpana marjanam. If the mind is chanting Hare Krishna, then the mind is properly engaged. And the presence of Krishna purifies the mind. Cheta. Cheta means mind, heart, consciousness. So we're very weak. And the holy name is very powerful. So this is our weapon. We chant, it's not our weapon. The weapon is given. Sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that this is the medicine. Enetriya shodhi maya nashibara lagi. This will dissipate maya. Or take it as a weapon. This will dissipate maya. Now, it's not our power. Just like Arjuna, he was getting divine weapons. A weapon from Indra, a weapon from Lord Shiva.
So we've got a better weapon. This is a weapon from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hari Nam Maha Mantra Lao Tumi Magi. There was another, yes.
In Shastra you can find description of Pancha, Pancha Kosha, this five coverings of Brahma.
Yeah.
And among them stated also some stages, Manamaya.
And there's a description in the Upanishads of Pancha Krosha, five coverings. Among them, one of them is the mind, Manamaya. What do these stages mean? Manamaya, Pranamaya, Anandamaya. It's not a 3-minute question, I don't think, but we'll give it our best.
What does it mean, depend on this mind, and how...
I'll explain. I'll do my best. For those who want a further explanation, in my book I've explained it, but that's another story. We start with Annamoya. Annamoya means food is everything. Food is everything, just like you see the birds. The whole life, the animals eating, the fish. Eating is everything. Annamoya, then Pranamoya, higher than that. Staying alive is everything. And we see that, just like people, old men, you know, just if I can stay alive. And the animals also. You know, the animal, the bird, it's like two things. Can I eat and am I safe? Can I eat and am I safe? Is there something to eat and am I safe? So, food is everything. Staying alive is everything. Just if I can keep life in my body. That's all I want. May I live to be, even the fools, you know, may my body be preserved so that after death, science may find a cure and revive me. May I live forever. A pranamoya. Then, and this is the business of the animals. Then, manamoya. Manamoya means mental speculation, thinking. Thinking is everything. The intellectual life is what makes us human. Absorbed in study, absorbed in thought, absorbed in philosophical pros and cons. This is manamoya. Absorbed in the mind. Then, gyanamoya, actually mind and gyanamoya, intelligence, closely linked to mind and intelligence. Again, philosophy, and finally, gyanamoya really means spiritual realization. Or vigyanmoya. Vigyanmoya really means spiritual realization. When I understand that I'm not this body, that I'm spirit soul, finally, that I'm servant of Krishna, vigyanmoya. That's like the 3-minute version. Does that clarify it? When he becomes Krishna conscious, he doesn't give up his subtle body. Anandamoya, Krishna consciousness means always absorbed in the blissful service of Krishna. At that stage, he surpassed all the previous stages, but it's all included. He still eats, but he eats Krishna prasadam. He's still interested in life, but his life is dedicated to Krishna. He's still thinking, but he's thinking about Krishna. He still has philosophy, but his philosophy is Srimad Bhagavatam. He still has vigyan, I'm not this body, but he knows it doesn't mean I'm spirit soul, therefore I'm everything, I'm identical with the absolute, it all ends with me. So when he gets to Anandamoya, he's surpassed all the lower stages,
And everything else still works, but it works properly in relationship with Krishna. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Krishna.